Darren McKee, D-Mac. D-Mac, it's Dave, Katie, Nate. Thanks for joining us. Good morning.
I consider us good friends. I mean, you know, we share a dream book.
But D-Mac, nobody really likes Dave, so he always has to have that disclaimer.
That's what she
said. Well, for the record, I like Dave.
Thank you.
You got a friend. You have a friend.
We bonded at the last Super Bowl. We met, and we're real life friends, and now you've got yourself you've got yourself a nice, big, shiny Super Bowl ring, or at least a replica, or at least a nice poster, or a Sports Illustrated football. Either way, your team won the Super Bowl, just as you had predicted, D-Mac.
Yes.
What's the biggest – I know this is an easy, stupid, dumb sports radio question, but I'll throw it at you because I'm stupid. What is the single biggest question leading into this season for the Broncos?
I've got no questions leading into the Broncos. Zero. I mean, they won the Super Bowl with the worst starting quarterback in the NFL last year. So can't get much worse than that. The offensive line has gotten better. They have some depth now at the running back position. That's kind of interesting. They got their top two wide receivers. They've beefed up their tight end position. They've got a quarterback in Mark Sanchez who will manage things okay. And they got a guy for the future in Paxton Lynch. Defensively, you lose Malik Jackson and Danny Trevathan. That's tough. We'll see how that blends together. But you still have the core. Well, you know what? I guess I do have a question. It's not Von Miller, which was what we were obsessing on for the past 2 months. I guess my question is Aqib Talib, because he shot himself, somebody else shot him. And think about this. He claims somebody else shot him. Just picture this. Through the back of his right thigh, through his right calf. Just look at your bodies a little bit and imagine, how in the world would somebody else shoot you in that direction?
Now we're getting into math and anatomy and like all these things.
Back and to the left. Yeah, exactly.
Right. So that's a bit of a question in terms of, will he get suspended? What's it going to be? How's his health? That sort of thing. But believe it or not, they've got a lot of depth there at corner, and they'll probably be okay. I don't see a lot of questions with the Broncos. I see a really, really good team.
Despite the fact, D-Mac, that you're unwilling to admit that the quarterback is the biggest question, Mark Sanchez, come on now. But my thing for them is last year defensively, they just dominated teams. I mean, they were number one overall, top five in nearly every important category. But do you think there's any kind of water in the fact that maybe this season teams will have figured that out a little bit and it won't be as clear cut for them defensively?
Von Miller could line up next to you and tell you, I'm going to run around to your left side, I'm going to dip on my third step, and I'm going to sack the quarterback. And you can sit there and say, Von Miller is going to rush on my left side, he's going to dip on the third step and try to get the quarterback. You can tell yourself that as many times as you want, but can you stop it? And that is the big difference. Wade Phillips' defense is very simple, guys. It's not really that complicated. It's just that he believes in a lot of pressure and bringing it all the time. And, you know, I guess there is another question mark, and that might be the health of DeMarcus Ware. He missed all of the OTAs and minicamps. So I guess that is a significant issue.
Yeah, geez.
Getting choked up. That's a question, because there's no doubt that helped Von Miller. But Von is Von's a freak. I mean, you know, we've been seeing it for a while, and he proved it last year in the playoffs in the Super Bowl, and he's, you know, now got his big deal, and unless something bad happens, like J.J. happened to J.J. Watt, you know it's coming. It's no secret, but can you stop it? And the answer has been no. There's no big secret to the Broncos defense, but can you stop it? And we'll see. I don't know what there is to figure out. Can you figure out how to be a better athlete than Von Miller? If you can figure that out, I guess you're in good shape.
Darren McKee joining us on KHTK. Darren, when Brock Osweiler left, you know, he went to the Texans. They offered him a whole bunch of money, all that. Didn't seem like there were a lot of tears shed in Denver. But, you know, that story for the most part remained silent. I think Brock Osweiler felt like he got shafted maybe a little bit by Denver. But I guess my question is, you know, behind the scenes, who really won in that? I mean, the Broncos end up with Mark Sanchez. They don't get the guy they were grooming behind Peyton Manning. But at the same time, they didn't really want to pay Brock Osweiler that much money. So I guess who won out of that situation?
Who won? How's your checking account these days? One. Brock Osweiler, one. I mean, the Broncos valued him at about a $8, $9, $10 million guy, and he got 18 per from Houston. No, Brock, one. And by the way, Brock doesn't have a little beef with the Broncos. He's got a huge beef with the
you
Broncos.
Think?
He was completely the amount of times he was disrespected by management, coaches, Peyton Manning himself. I mean, it's legendary. I mean, don't forget, this is a guy who beat Cincinnati on the road in overtime, beat New England at home in overtime during the regular season. He was down by 6 points. 6 points with 8 minutes to go in the third quarter against San Diego, a horrible team. The Broncos were -5 to that point. -5. Awful. Most teams -5 are down by 30. And they pulled out Brock Osweiler for Peyton Manning. And I guess the rest is history. But part of the rest that's history in that little story is that Brock Osweiler was forever done with the Broncos. How much so? He didn't show up for the White House photo with the president. He didn't come back for the ring ceremony, which was unbelievable here. Brock Osweiler just doesn't want anything to do with the Broncos. He's not a fan of the management. And I'll give you a quick little story. And that game against San Diego, Peyton Manning, for 4 straight years, wore a different suit to home games. A different suit. No other Broncos player would wear a suit. You don't have to dress up for home games. Manning would wear a suit because he would always be on the podium after the game talking to the press. For that game against San Diego, it was the only home game in 4 years Peyton Manning did not wear a suit and tie. He did not think he was going into that game. He did not. He just went out there because he knew that this could be it, and he didn't want to go out, you know, crying like a baby, pretending to be hurt at that point. So he did go out there. I give him credit for that. But he did not expect to play in that game. So everything that happened in a fairy tale, I guess there's a bad guy, and there's always bad ramifications. An equal reaction to a positive reaction is that Brock wanted nothing to do with the Broncos, and as soon as he got a better offer, he was out of here. And it is a big loss. It's a huge loss. But then the big question is, would you have won the Super Bowl with Brock Osweiler? My argument is yes, because Peyton Manning was so terrible. But then again, when you talk to the players on the team, they'll tell you that Manning gave them a certain sense of confidence, I guess, to be the worst offensive producing offense ever to win the Super Bowl. That's real confidence for you. But that's just part of the big story. So we've got Mark Sanchez.
So with all that said, would you give him Brock Osweiler $18 million?
No, but I would have signed him during the season. I would have aggressively tried to sign him after the New England game. Derek Wolfe took a hometown discount. Chris Harris took a hometown discount. I would have been much more open with Brock as our guy for the future. And after he beat New England in overtime at home, and they had been grooming him for such a long time, that was the time to get it done during the season. And they just, man, they just didn't really quite believe in the guy. They never really did until it was too late.
Darren McKee, DMAC, from 104.3, The Fan in Denver, joining us as we focus on the Denver Broncos today. I want to throw out a prediction, and you tell me how full of garbage I am. Devontae Booker from Sacramento, California, will start for the Denver Broncos at some point this year.
Well, I mean, if C.J. Anderson gets hurt, maybe. I mean, that's not the plan. They way overpaid for C.J. Anderson, a Cal guy, a Northern California guy. There you go. You got don't be stepping one Northern California guy over another, by the way. But, you know, no, they're very, very, very committed to C.J. However, Devontae looked good when he was out here in OTAs and camp, and they like him a lot. And we'll see if he can pass block. You know, that's always an important deal there for the Broncos running back, especially in Kubiak's offense. So we'll see. But no, Devontae is going to be a big, 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 big part of the plan. And Ronnie Hillman, a Southern California guy, forget SoCal, right?
Yes.
He might be in trouble. We'll see.
DMAC, to piggyback a little bit off of what you just said, you know, you talked earlier about Von Miller. Obviously, he is the heart of that Broncos defense. But you mentioned C.J. Anderson. I guess the big question going into this season in terms of the offense is who really is going to be the heart of that offense? Do you see that as Anderson?
Well, he'll be the running back part of it. I think you're going to see the tight ends be a bigger deal. That's a good question. I'm not quite sure. I think initially C.J. is going to be the star of the show, and we'll sort of go from there. But for the first time in a long time, the Broncos, with C.J. Anderson, they have a back that they give the ball to, you know, 23, 24, 25 times a game, every game. And that has not been the case out here in quite a while. But that's the plan. So that's a lot riding on C.J. Anderson's shoulders, I guess.
Here's my question for you. We're talking about Mark Sanchez and all the stuff going in. Talk to me about Paxton Lynch. That was a very, very intriguing pick by John Elway. I think he got a steal out of that, at least the position he got Paxton Lynch, which of course, the defending Super Bowl champions need a steal in the draft. But how close to ready is he?
Oh, 2 years away.
Yeah.
Not even close. It was funny. The best practice he had all off season was the first OTA. I mean, dude, it was incredible. First OTA, and he was lighting it up. I mean, he looked unreal. Well, they were running about five or six plays, so he spent a lot of time getting ready for those five or six plays, I guess, in front of the media. And then from there on, he looked like your typical rookie. He was actually put down the depth chart to number three behind a guy named Trevor Siemian. I don't know if you've ever even heard of this guy, but Trevor Siemian was drafted out of Northwestern last year and took over to replace Zach Dicer, got him booted. So Trevor Siemian, actually, believe it or not, is the most prepared quarterback for the Broncos to start the season, but they've got the bigger investment into Mark Sanchez, so he'll get the first shot. But trust me, talk about it wouldn't be a surprise. If Trevor Siemian, how about this for some breaking news, is the starting quarterback for the Broncos day one, don't be surprised. I would be shocked if Paxton Lynch is really ready to go until, boy, next year at the earliest. He's just got so much learning to do. He's very athletic. He's got a huge arm. Very nice guy. He likes to look like a pirate, and he has told us that he'd rather be like the Johnny Depp pirate rather than the Peter Pan pirate.
Oh, nice.
But he likes to look like a pirate.
Okay.
He's got that going for him, and he's tall. So he'll be good, but not for a while. Not for a while.
Darren McKee, DMAC of 104.3, The Fan in Denver. An off-field question for you in kind of a weird way. The naming rights for the stadium are up for sale, obviously, because Sports Authority is going through bankruptcy court right now. I had read that there was a deadline in terms of a bank that has taken over to try and sell the rights and all of this legal stuff that's coming into play. The original deadline was last Tuesday. They didn't receive a single bid, so they extended it to last night. Is there any update on, I don't know, the name of the stadium the Broncos are going to be playing in?
I haven't heard anything. You know, everybody here loves, you know, just wishes they could just call it Mile High Stadium, but it's a different feel. And Joel's the president of the organization. We talked to him, and what he pointed out was that the naming rights help to pay for the upkeep of the stadium and other things that really make visiting the stadium. It's a wonderful stadium. However, I'm going to tell you, Sports Authority was a nightmare from the beginning. The first thing Sports Authority did was come in here and paint everything red. You know, everything looked like the Kansas City Chiefs. You know, the logo was, and I get it, that's their logo. But you can't make it orange. It can't be the same design and just put it in orange. I mean, there were just big places in the stadium that you might not notice from watching on TV, but are just like painted Kansas City red. And it was ridiculous. And this is the second failed business because we had Invesco. That didn't go so well. And now Sports Authority Field. So I don't know. I mean, it's a lot of money, $3.5 million a year. Put your name on the building without any kind of like perceivable benefit for your company. So I don't really get it. I don't know what they're going to do and where they're going to go with it. The fans here they hate Sports Authority in terms of, you know, the field. Nobody calls it Sports Authority. Nobody really likes that whole thing, so they can't wait for that to come down. What we do like is going into Sports Authority and buying golf shirts for like $3.
I know.
So, but besides that, it's a little bit of an embarrassment. But you know, it's kind of a behind the scenes thing. And frankly, who knows what any of these stadiums? You guys are ODOT.co or
No, we're Sleep Train Arena, soon to be Golden One. That's the Bay Area. Come on.
Didn't even know. Yeah. And then the 49ers.
That's how much you care.
What are the 49ers? I don't even know.
Levi Stadium.
Oh, that's kind of cool. By the way, I'm thinking back on the Super Bowl, my week in Northern California. And I just want to say, making the field a skating rink, it was fantastic. It was a great idea. The grass was so, you know what's funny, really quick. The grass was so green and shiny, and they were falling all over the place. Our turf out here in Denver, listen, grass dies in January, okay? It's okay. It's the way it goes. It's nature. So the field kind of looks crappy, but I promise you this, the field at Sports Authority Field is actually great. I don't care what it looks like. The field itself holds up. It's in great shape. They do a great job there. That Super Bowl was ridiculous in terms of the field. The stadium was wonderful. We had an incredible time out there in San Francisco. I wish they could put the stadium a little further away from downtown San Francisco. Yeah. But aside from that, we had just a wonderful time out there.
Darren, I'm going to tell you a story.
Oh, by the way, will this be the 12th year in a row the Raiders don't make the playoffs?
Oh, I knew it was coming. Yeah, I knew see, it was
and
coming.
And that's what, you know, Nate, I'll skip over because that was my last question. Is in some sort of alternate crazy universe of Darren McKee and the Denver Broncos don't go 18-0 in the regular season, though there's only 16 games, and win the AFC West, who wins the AFC West?
Well, the Broncos do for the sixth time in a row.
He's saying if that doesn't happen. In a weird universe that I know you can't imagine.
That you can't exist outside of.
The Broncos don't win the AFC West. Who does?
The Kansas City Chiefs.
Come on.
Is this really a question? Listen, you guys all think Khalil Mack is that great.
Yes.
I'm going to tell you, Khalil Mack had the game of his life against Michael Schofield, who had the worst game of his life, okay? Michael Schofield was, and by the way, Michael Schofield's gone. He's like a swing tackle now. He's not a starter. So calm down on Khalil Mack and how great he is.
He had a couple other good games too, Darren. That wasn't his only.
If I see another report about how Khalil Mack is better than Von Miller, I'm going to throw up. It's ridiculous. So you got plenty of problems there. You got Jack Del Rio. That's your first problem. And then it sort of just goes from there.
Wow. Just laying it on. Laying it on, D-Mac. We'd expect nothing less from you coming out of Denver.
We're going to make a bet at some point this season.
What's the bet? The bet is that we're the Raiders. We're the only organization in the NFL that can't turn our organization around in a decade to get to the playoffs.
Listen,
the Broncos were 4-12. They drafted Von Miller, and 4 years later, they've been to the Super Bowl twice and won it one time. They've won 5 AFC championships in a row, and the Raiders can't make the friggin' playoffs in a dozen years? I mean, it's ridiculous.
D-Mac, I think it's fantastic that you're putting two 49ers fans in Nate and Dave here in the position where they have to defend the Raiders team.
We're going to have all these Raider fans now.
Hey, 49ers fans, isn't it nice to finally have a coach you can understand when he speaks English? I mean, that must be a whole thing. And by the way, the 49ers are coming back here to Denver for a week of practice. This is where we knew Colin Kaepernick couldn't play quarterback anymore here in Denver when he came out of practice against the Broncos. Colin Kaepernick is done. He's not worth hanging on to. I can't believe anybody wants him as their quarterback. I was terrified he was going to become the Broncos quarterback. The guy just doesn't have it. I don't know exactly why, but nobody looked worse than the 49ers in practice last year out here in Denver. So unless something significant is going on, I'm just going to look for a party with Alvin Smith and make sure that the 49ers are good hosts rather than playing in any kind of playoff.
I can't believe that you would go that in on Jim Tomsula and his command of the English language when he very clearly is only in the position that he's gotten to because he understands how to say yes, sir.
Wow. There you go. There's a bitter 49ers fan right there. I love it.
Well, we didn't even ever bring up John Elway hanging out in the corner at games with his salt lick, eating hay and chilling. I mean, we weren't going to go that deep on you. Jesus, Darren.
Well, whatever you want to do about the executive of the year, I don't care. We really don't care where he grazes as long as he's got a Super Bowl ring on a hook.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my God. I love you, D-Mac. You're welcome back anytime.
104.3, the fan. He is a co-host of The Drive, Big Al and D-Mac. We appreciate it. I kind of think we appreciate it. And we'll talk to you throughout the season, my man.
All right, guys. Sounds good. I'll talk to you later.
All right, take care.